Edius, Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet 8:4. In this Mishnah, we find Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer. Now, Yossi ben Yoezer, you'll recall from Pirkei Avos, was the first of the five, from the first of the five Zugos, pairs. He was the Nasi, at the kind of beginning-ish of Bias Sheni, right after Shimon HaTzadik. In any case, my point here is that he lived centuries before the Bo Bayom, that day that Edius was recording, and therefore, the simplest explanation of what's happening here is people on that day are reminding us of some testimony that he had back then. And they're quoting him essentially verbatim in his original Aramaic tongue as he spoke back then. Others learned that they did it and said these ones in Aramaic because they're important to know for the masses. Whatever the case is, here we have He'ed Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda. Yossi ben Yoezer, the man from Tzreda, he was the prominent the Rav of Tzreda. He testified regarding three things. Now, all three of these things are going to be lakula, lenient, and therefore at the end we'll say that he was, for this reason, for his leniencies, he was called Rabbi Yossi the permitter. So let's see them inside first. And first of all, it says, he testified al ayal kamtsa dachan, which means in English, he said that this certain kind of grasshopper, chagav, which is, there's some grasshoppers, locusts, call it the same thing for right now, are kosher, some are not kosher. He said the one called the ayal literally means like a deer, but the grasshopper called the ayal is kosher to be eaten. That's his first leniency. He's saying that's his tradition. The technicalities are beyond the scope here. The Gemara has a lot to say on this machlokus, what he's coming to militate against, but I'm ignoring that for now. I'll just translate the words for you because they're Aramaic and hard. Ayal, again, is the name, the specific species, if you will, of grasshopper. Kamtsa is the Aramaic word for chagav, for grasshopper. Same word as kamtsa and bar kamtsa from the story of Gittin there that's read on Tisha B'Av often. And the word dachan means tahor or tahorim, it's plural. So the idea here is that the word, the Hebrew letter zayin often turns to a letter dalet in Aramaic. So zach, like as in shemen, zayis, zach, pure olive oil, here becomes dach, pure in Aramaic. And the same way in Hebrew, we talk about, the psukim talk about kosher animals as being tahor, not talking about tum and tahor, but rather being like kosher or not kosher, if you will. So too, we're saying they're tahor, meaning they're kosher for eating. That's the first of the three. The second of the three is, val mashke beis mitbachaya de'inun dachyan, which means, he literally means that the liquids, the fluids there in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash are tahor. Now, the backstory here needs some explanation here. Recipients of Tumah come in four varieties, okay? You have Adam, people, Kalim, utensils, Ochlin, food, and Mashkin, drink. Those four things can become Tameh. Now, it's actually Machlokus between Rav and Shmuel if the susceptibility of Tumah for liquids, mashkin, is doraisa midurabanan. The halacha follows the opinion of Rav, that's the Rambam learns, that they, yes, are makabal tuma midoraisa, so they are tuma susceptible, like I said. But midoraisa liquids, mashkin, cannot convey tuma onwards to other things. Meaning if you have a tame liquid and it touches your food, the food should remain tahor midoraisa. Okay? Midurabanan, we say the tuma is conveyed. Meaning everyone agrees that tuma is only conveyed from liquids on a rabbinic level. Now, just parenthetical comment to not get confused. I'm not talking here about the seven liquids that are machshir, ochlin, foodstuffs, to become tame. That's a separate rule altogether, that ochlin, foodstuffs, can't become tame unless first they're wetted by one of these seven liquids, those the mnemonic yad, shacha, dam. I'm not talking about that, okay? That's something else. But in terms of liquids, mashkin, becoming tameh and then conveying their tumah on, that's a discussion if that's a deraisa, the rabbanan. Everyone agrees that conveying tumah onwards is a derabanan. Let's just talk about that for now, so we avoid the machlokas. So, the point of our mission is that there was a place in the Beis HaMikdash where they did the butchering of the korbanos. Remember, after you shech the korban and get its blood, you know, the zrika, kabbalah, holacha, zrika, excuse me, the shechita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika, application of the blood to the mizbeach. Good, that's the primary thing of the korban, but there's a separate thing altogether, which is Korbanos need to either be eaten or burned, and that therefore they need to be flayed, meaning removing the skin, and they could have to be butchered into different portions of them, and sometimes you have to clean out the intestines first before you can offer an ola, because you can't have to empty out those intestines of whatever waste there is and so on. So therefore, there's an area in the Beis HaMikdash that had tables, that had hanging hooks, that has rings, and it's there to process, butcher these animals now that they've been slaughtered. And you can imagine there's a lot of liquids there, there's blood there, there's water from the cleaning out of the innards and that kind of stuff. So the point of our mission here is that although the rabbis decreed that there is tumah that's conveyed on from tame liquids, that rabbinic enactment does not apply in the Beis Mitbachaya, in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the gist of it. What I said is not quite lahalach. I'll say the Rambam lahalach in a second. But that's the idea. So the point is that we're not declaring this rabbinic enactment on the liquids in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash, period. That's a simple reading here. Let me show you the words inside, and then I'll go back to the Rambam, who learns things a little bit differently, okay? So inside the words read like this: Va'al mashkei Beis Mitbachaya, and on the various liquids to be found in the butchering area inside the Beis Mitbachaya, there on the north side of the Azara, de'inun, that they are, dachyan, that they are, here you go again, like dach meaning zach, pure, tahor, they are pure, meaning they're not able to convey tumah onwards, or perhaps even to be makabel tumah, period. That's what he's saying here. Now the Rambam paskins l'alacha that in general, mashkin are yes makabel tumah, midoraisa. They do not convey tumah on midoraisa, it's a durabanan. But notwithstanding that, there's a separate din altogether, like halacha shrinksinai, a din, that midoraisa, in the Beis Mitbachaya, they're not even makabel tumah. That's the Rambam paskin, so that'd be, I guess, the halacha lamaisa. Okay. And the third thing Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer Yishtreda says is, and now the words literally mean, u diikrav b'misya mista'av, the one who comes into contact with a corpse becomes tame. Now, of course, that we knew that from the pasuk. That's not no chiddush there. He'd need to testify by that. What he's trying to convey here is what's called the contrapositive, the other side of the story, meaning, yes, it's true, if you touch a corpse, you're tame. But if you're mistapek, you're not sure whether or not you touched the corpse, and that suffix arose in the Rishus Harabim, in a public place, public meaning that people go there, like three or more people go there. So then, the rule is, suffix tuma b'Rishus Harabim tahor, that a question that arises regarding tuma status in a public area is ruled to be tahor, period. And that's what he's saying here. Now, the problem is, although that's not a pasuk, but it's universally agreed upon, it's a limud, everyone knows this rule. So therefore, what's he coming to add? The answer is that it seems, but before the testimony of Yossi ben Yoezer, so people said, yes, it's true that safek tumim b'rishus harabim is tahor, but einam morin kei. We don't publicly announce that, because it's really confusing to people. In other words, you're telling people, we just got finished saying, I just got finished saying in the previous Mishnah, how a suffix, if you have an uncertain situation, so then you go for the Raisa L'Chumra. So here it's a suffix. These people walked to the Beis HaMikdash to, Lila Regel. There were two paths. Turns out one path has a dead body on it, and therefore they say to you, well, which path are you going? I don't know. So you're suffix if you walk to the dead body or not. So the rule is, okay, so we can rule suffix Tum B'Rishus HaRabim was a public path, so then we'll say you're Tahor. That's obviously, and we're letting you do your Kamanos, etc. That seems to fly in the face of Suffolk Doraisa L'Chumra. So people would make a mistake and they would come to be Mizalzel. They would not take Tumantara seriously. That was the concern. And therefore, Yossi ben Yoezer says no, we're not worried about that. We're going to tell people the fact Suffolk Tumantara Sarabim is Tahor. And people will, people just like you and I understand, people understand, and therefore they won't come to Mizalzel. There's a second explanation why he would do that, which is if you think you're Tameh, so then you'll end up, burning Truma and the like, which is Isser from the Torah, so you should know that you're really not Tameh, you're on a Dreisa level. You're Tahor. So therefore he said, we're going to publicize, everyone should know that Safek Tuma B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor, and only Tameh if you know that you touched the Tuma. Okay, so those are the three leniencies, if you will, that he ruled, he innovated on. First of all, that the ayal, grasshopper, is kosher. Second of all, that the liquids in the base of mikdash, but in the butchering area, are totally tahor. And third of all, that your safek tum b'rishus harabim, everyone should know that they're tahor. And for those three things, v'karula, they referred to him. See, this is still Aramaic, I should point out. But anyways, they referred to Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer as Yossi Sharia, Yossi the permitter, the lenient guy. So this is not really said in a positive way. This is saying, you know, he was too easygoing. He was like, you know, he wasn't a heavyweight. He was permitting things. That really makes it. He did everything right. The halacha follows him. We do say in general, koach tehatera difa, that it's a good thing to be able to be matzer things to people. But anyways, the sentiment of our mission here is like to be consistently innovating to the side of leniency is actually not a great thing. And the Gemara actually brings a separate precedent. There's a certain amora I mentioned in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Zayin, named Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who had already been matzer to other things in other contexts, and he resisted doing a third leniency innovation because of the principles set forth in this Mishnah.